their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado, this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. What do we have on tap for today's episode, Rick?
Well, I think it's a cool topic, and we hinted at it in the last episode. We're going to talk a little bit about Nikon's PF lenses. And that's a 300 millimeter f4 and a 500 5.6 lens that, you know, we'll talk about their attributes, of which there are many.
Right.
And that are positive.
Many positive attributes, yes. So these lenses are unique in their optical design, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hence the PF designation. It stands for phase Fresnel. We'll get into that in a second. The 300 millimeter f4 was released, I think, about 2 years ago. It's been a little while. The 500 f5.6 PF lens was only released in the fall of 2018. And they're still scarce, by the
really
way.
Scarce.
Right. So let's talk about this optical design. Fresnel lenses, what are they?
If you've ever been up in the top of a lighthouse and taken a look at the huge assembly they have up there that focuses the light so it's in a very concentrated pattern and can go a long way, you've seen a Fresnel lens, and they show up on other things too. But it's a kind of a unique scallop-shaped thing, which enables you to get some complex radii and things that would take up many, many elements and be very heavy, but yet it's lightweight and not too large.
Right. And in lighthouses, it's nice because they're lighter. They're pieces of glass rather than solid lenses.
Oh, my God. They would be enormously heavy.
Right. So the thing is that with a lighthouse, you're just trying to kind of intensify and focus light to make it brighter. It's a little bit different game when you're trying to incorporate it into an actual photography optical element. But Nikon has somehow managed to get that to mm-hmm. work. And the result is that these lenses are much smaller and lighter than you might think based on their previous generation.
And if you haven't seen them in person, they're even smaller than you just thought of.
Right. So let's talk about, these are both telephoto primes. The subjects that you might consider with these are, you know, a variety of things, but they're going to tend towards isolated subjects or things where you want to get close up to. So last week we talked about wildflowers using the 300, although that's probably not what most people would buy this lens for.
But they worked extremely well.
Right.
I would not eliminate that. I would remember that one.
And they're incredibly sharp lenses.
Prime
lenses tend to be very well corrected and sharp. Yeah. But when you're paying more than, you know, when you start getting up into the price range of these lenses, you kind of have an expectation that they're going to be good.
And then the 300 millimeter in particular can work quite well as a landscape lens. It's, again, a little bit non-traditional, but you can get that really nice, tight composition, compressed planes in it, and it's a very nice look.
That's absolutely true. And I have a hunch I'll be bringing this lens or one of these lenses with me to South Dakota in August for the landscape workshop that I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when you look at the 300 in particular, it's an updated version really of third generation of Nikon's 300 millimeter f4. And you can still buy the previous AFS version. The first mm-hmm. version was, I think, AFD. The second version was AFS. This one is VR and of course the PF design. So what are the big differences? I mean, they're both F4 lenses that, you know, when you look at them on paper, they both have similar magnification, similar focus, minimum focusing distance, similar apertures. The lens design though is pretty different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you might expect, the PF one's more complex.
Yeah. And I've actually owned all three of those F4 lenses. You know, the AF one, was all of them are very sharp. They're all great optically. I can't say anything wrong about that old AF model lens, except that it, you know, focusing was kind of slow and noisy and didn't have VR. The AF-S one, very quick autofocus, but no VR.
Right, and I used that lens. It was it was competent.
Very competent.
And the thing about these 300 f4s is that just their nature of them, they're not very big and heavy to begin with. So you kind of want to handhold them.
Right.
And so VR is quite useful in this particular case.
And we started talking a little bit about the kind of subjects that you might shoot with a 300. Sports, that's just another classic one. The 300 millimeter focal length works well for a lot of sports. You're at about the right distance. You get the right kind of subject isolation. And then for certain kinds of wildlife, a 300 can be fine too. If you're able to get, you know, at a reasonable distance from large, safe mammals, or you can be in a safe spot, that can work well. Not so good for small birds. That's a bit challenging.
Right.
I wouldn't get too excited about that idea.
So when I'm looking at the specs here, we got them pulled up here on my iPad. It's you know, so far everything is about the same other than VR, but it's when we get to the size that you really start to see what the difference is with the PF design. So the previous version of this lens is about almost 9 inches long. So it's 8.8 or 222 millimeters long. Compare that with the new one, which is only 5.8 inches long, or what is that? 147 millimeters, give or take.
Big difference.
That's a huge difference. It's 3 inches. That's massive in terms of packability.
It means that if you're using a photo backpack, you might be able to put the new one in vertically as opposed to horizontally.
Instead of laying it down flat.
Which takes up a lot more space.
Yeah. So that's huge. And then you get to the weight category. Whereas the previous generation F4 weighed 1.4 kilograms or 3.2 pounds. This new one is what, 755 grams? So half the weight, or it's about 1.6 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's huge as well, because not only can it fit better in your bag, but it's not going to weigh your bag down.
Yeah. And it's just going to be more comfortable to handhold if you're doing that, you know, for extended periods of time. You're just not going to feel it.
Right. And, you know, one thing also about packing, a 300 is almost always a secondary, you know, it's a complementary lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about it for landscapes even. You probably have your wide, your normal zoom, maybe your 70-200. And then you may say, oh, I'll toss a 300. Well, if it's a big old 300-28, it's not going to fit in your bag. You're not going to carry it. Even the other F4 might be too big to put in your bag. You have to keep it separate and just bring it out in those times. Well, this guy's small.
Yeah, what I found happening with my older 300 millimeter F4 is, even though it was a gloriously sharp lens, I found myself just bringing a 1.4 teleconverter and using it with my 70-200-28 because it was so large for that, you know, one focal length. And using the teleconverter with the 70-200 certainly worked. Not quite as sharp.
True.
Not quite as nice of background.
So this lens is just beautifully sharp, wide open. You can easily combine it with the TC14E Nikon teleconverters, the version 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you a 420 in native format. We should point out that both of these lenses are in the Nikon F mount.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer 24x36 or, you know, 35 millimeter frame coverage. So you can use them with any of the Nikon F-mount DSLRs.
Newer ones.
The newer one, yeah. Right. And you can also use the Nikon FTZ adapter and mount it to a Nikon mirrorless Z body.
And that works very, very well.
Right. And they just, ergonomically, they work great with those smaller bodies because mm-hmm. they are smaller lenses.
Yeah.
So, you know, that 300 F4, it's just a really, it's it's amazing how little it is, but it's just wonderfully sharp, wide open. And like I said, if you put a teleconverter on it, you've got a 400 millimeter lens, and on a crop sensor body, you're pushing 500 millimeters.
Yeah.
In fact, you can use it with a 1.7 converter. It's only when you get to the 2x converter that you might be running into some autofocus challenges, because now you're at f8, and that's about the limit where Nikon autofocus works. You have some limitations with the, you have to use a center autofocus point. It has to be a certain camera. Not all cameras will work that way, but you can certainly get away with using it with the 1.4 converter with no trouble at all. So this thing prices out at just under $2,000 US. The only thing it doesn't have, if you were going to pick nits at it, is it doesn't include a tripod collar. Part of that's because you really don't need one for the most part if you're going to be shooting handheld.
I like having one though.
Yeah, and so you can buy a third party. I know we have the Really Right Stuff one, I believe, which is an Arca Swiss compatible system, but you can get the removable tripod collar, put it on there. And there are times when that is more useful, like landscapes or the wildflowers, where you want to be working from a tripod just from a shutter speed standpoint, where maybe you're not shooting fast shutter speeds.
Yeah. And the tripod collar, you know, my rationale is, especially with the Z body, it just, I think it balances a little bit better, which is nice. But for me, one of the bigger reasons is it's just so easy to go from a horizontal to vertical composition that it's, that makes it worthwhile to me.
Yeah. This is because, and you know, Rick's point here, for those not familiar with tripod collars, is it lets you rotate
the
body while it's still on the tripod. So you don't have to unmount your camera and go.
You don't mess up your composition.
Yeah, it's great.
Very easy.
So, you know, we both have bought these with our own hard-earned money, and I feel like it was a worthwhile investment. Mm-hmm. Let's talk briefly about the 500.
Ooh.
It's just a whole different animal, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is just amazingly small. I mean, the 300 is too, but there's just something incredibly striking about seeing a 500 millimeter lens that superficially looks like a, you know, a 70 to 200 that's missing one of the, you know, like a zoom collar or something like that.
Right. I mean,
that's what it's like.
It's jaw dropping. When I first took this thing out of the box, I was like, really, this is 500. You gotta be kidding me. Right.
Yeah.
It is an F5.6. So it's not competing directly with its bigger brother, which is the 500 F4. That's in a completely different class. But the interesting thing, and it's also price class, it's an extra digit tacked on there. But the amazing thing about this lens is that it's not just the aperture that makes it smaller and lighter. Again, it's that phase Fresnel design. This lens only weighs about 3 pounds.
Yeah, which means you can handhold it for extended periods of time, and it just feels completely comfortable. You feel very agile in the field. In fact, we were shooting with the 500s just a few weeks ago up on Mount Evans and photographing mountain goats and marmots, trying to photograph pikas, which are really small and hard to find and even harder to photograph. I think I got one in one shot. It's a bad shot, but I did get a pika, and it was in focus. But it was wonderful just being able to scamper around, follow the mountain goats as need be, get the right distance, especially with the marmots too, because they're a lot quicker than the mountain goats. And the thing was just delightful to use. No monopod, no tripod. Just get out there and shoot.
Yeah, there's an agility factor here that needs to be taken into consideration, I think. Because with a traditional 500 F4, and even the 200 to 500, which is the zoom, mm-hmm. sort of the next one you might look at, and it's significantly less, it's about half the price, less than half the price, that's still a 5 pound lens. It still kind of asks you to use at least a monopod. You can handhold it, absolutely, but it does get a little bit tiresome to use. And I've had some clients in the past, female clients in particular, who just, you know, it gets tiring trying to handhold that lens. Mm-hmm. So something that goes from 5 pounds to 3 pounds, and if you're comparing it against the F4, well, now you're talking about something that's 8 pounds, which is almost now requiring at least a monopod and maybe even a tripod. And when you're using a tripod, your agility just goes down to next to nothing.
Yeah.
You've got to set up your shot. You were talking about scampering after marmots. Well, partly they're moving, but also we moved a lot because we were trying to get a better composition, looking at the backgrounds.
And it wasn't over smooth ground. It was rocky, you know, ground, boulders. We were trying to be very good about not traipsing on alpine wildflowers or lichen or things like that.
Right.
It's not that easy.
It makes a huge difference. A few little features on the 500 that you won't find on the 300, minor details, but it does have, like the exotic Big Brother, it has a focus memory option, AF on buttons on the lens barrel. And like we mentioned before, it has the VR, they both have the VR, both the new normal and sport modes. But you know, for something that really is not much bigger than a 70 to 200 2.8, it's incredible. And then this lens is just silly sharp, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've both seen it in our shots, but you don't need to stop this lens down.
No, you just don't. You can shoot it wide open, 5.6, and that's true with the 300 f4 too. Wide open, they're both very sharp.
So you're probably asking, well, how does that compare to your, you know, because I happen to own the 500 f4,
mm-hmm.
and I did do a few comparison shots. Nothing super scientific, but I did test it. How is it similar? How is it different? I found the focusing speed on my D850 to be comparable. They both focused very quickly. Not so much with the 200 to 500. That was noticeably slower.
Yeah.
Where I really saw an improvement, though, this 500 was sharp as the 500 f4, even when the 500 f4 was shot at f5.6.
Yeah.
And what I found was that in the corners, it was better.
Yep.
It was better in the corners than the 500 f4 that I own, and significantly better in the corners than the 200 to 500. So if you're looking for this, you know, so who would buy this lens? It's $3,600, $3,700. So you're talking expensive, maybe not mortgage your house expensive, but it is expensive. So who's the, you know, who wants this lens? I mean, besides everybody drools over it, duh.
Well, the economics have to work out. And I think you have to be someone that is going to do this kind of shooting, you know, the 500 millimeter style shooting and subject matter fairly often. If you're not, you know, that 200 to 500 is an awfully good lens. It's a lot bigger, a lot bulkier. It's not as sharp, but it's a very good lens.
Right. When we say not as sharp, we just mean when you're looking at things up
obsessively
close, zoomed in. Yes. So the 200 to 500 is actually a wonderful lens.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're thinking about packing 5 pounds versus 3 pounds,
it's big.
You could pack both of these lenses and have a lighter kit than the 200 to 500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just about the same weight or a little less, actually. You're looking at distance shooting. You could do sports with it, but 500 is sort of in that in-between range. You're going to want to have at least a little bit better light most of the time. And while you can use a teleconverter with it, that's probably the teleconverter use is probably the biggest discriminator for me, at least, between choosing between something like a 500 f4 and then this lens.
Mm-hmm.
You put a 1.4 converter on this lens, and now you're at f8 again. And like we mentioned before, you've got some autofocus restrictions with the Nikon DSLR bodies.
With the Zs, it opens up, and they work quite well with teleconverters. And you even played with a 2X one, right?
I did something silly just to see if I could, and that was I put the TC20E3, the 2X converter, onto this lens and then mounted it to my Nikon Z7. And I also put it on my D850. So let me tell you about the D850 experience. When you put that on there, F11 combination, you look through the viewfinder, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then you push autofocus, AF on, whatever, and it just racks back and forth. And so in other words, it's unusable.
Yeah.
And the D850 has one of the best autofocus systems out there. It just doesn't work beyond F8. I put it on the Z and I could autofocus. I could walk around with a 1,000 millimeter lens equivalent handheld.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's hard to do that. You still have to, it's hard to find your subjects. And it wasn't lightning fast focus, But I was pleasantly surprised that it even worked.
Yeah. So for some subject matter, you could pull it off.
Absolutely. Think about shooting the moon.
Yeah.
Or something where you want to get, you know, where you need that. You still have all the same rules of light apply. You're still shooting at F11, yeah. You know, those right. are the things, but, it was pretty cool.
Now we've talked a lot about the positives with both the 300 and the 500 negatives that you can think about.
Well, the first one is really just that the aperture. Mm-hmm. It's not an F4 lens, but then again, you didn't spend $10,000 on it either. So that's just a physical thing. It's only a drawback in the context if you're doing a lot of low light shooting or you find yourself needing teleconverters a lot, then something like, you know, find yourself a used 500 F4. On the other hand, the only real negative or con, if you will, is has to do with the phase Fresnel design itself. And that has to do with rendering sort of backlit out of focus speculars. They can get kind of hazy. You don't get those clean pinpoints.
It's not bad. It's just a little bit different.
It's almost like a diffuse halo over a... Mm-hmm. So if you're focusing something that has a lot of chrome in it, you might see this. Mostly you don't see it.
No.
And for the subjects that these lenses are intended for, sports, wildlife, you probably won't notice
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I did have one little weird thing that showed up in a shot that I made. It had two marmots in it that were close by each other, but there was one that was further back, you know, just a couple feet, something like that at most, which meant that there was a marmot in focus and a marmot out of focus. The out of focus marmot had, if you look closely at the eye, it just didn't look quite right. And when I zoomed in and looked, you could see the construction of a Fresnel lens. Weirdest damn thing. Now, I could have easily fixed that in Photoshop had I wanted to, but you know, it's just a quirk. This is not a big thing, and I would not interpret our negative comment as a big thing because it's just
we're really trying to
find something.
In the interest of being balanced, we're trying to find,
yeah.
some, you know. So, I mean, other than the price tags, which again, when you compare them to what they're up against, you know, to me, if I were shopping for a 300, the PF would be the one to get.
No brainer.
Yeah, it's no question. If you're shopping for a wildlife lens, if you have the budget, you know, again, this thing is so sharp. And it compares optically so well against the more expensive one that unless you really needed that ability to use teleconverters or lower light, just get this one and shoot at f/5.6 all day and be very happy.
I think you're going to probably shoot more than you would with a bigger lens just because it's so easy to take with you. It's so pleasant to carry around and handhold. I think you're going to get more photography in with it. That's Absolutely. My prediction.
So right now, the 300 PF is available pretty much anywhere you shop online. I mean, I was just looking at B&H. The 500, that's tough. It's back ordered. It's trickling in. They show up occasionally. Hopefully, that will be rectified soon. It's almost been a year since they've come out. So, you know, but keep your eyes out there. And in the meantime, you know, the good thing is that the used market will... You know, if you are looking for 500 F4, there might be used ones available that you can pick up. So good times. So anything else we want to discuss? I mean, I think that mostly covers them.
Yeah, we All like right. them.
Yeah, and we'll have some sample images posted on our Facebook page. So mm-hmm. that's facebook.com/imagedoctors. Check that out because that's where you can ask us questions. You can leave comments and feedback on your thoughts on our show. And don't forget to give us a nice, hopefully a positive review on iTunes.
And if it's negative, just make sure you include Jason's name in it.
Right. I mean,
that's what I would recommend.
I concur. But yeah, since we first started broadcasting, we are now out, of course, on all the major aggregators. So we're out on Spotify, we're out on iTunes, or I should say Apple Podcasts. I always mess that up. And it's there. And we appreciate the feedback we've gotten so far. We really do. If you've got a friend, just remind them to check us out.
Yep.
So until next time, happy shooting, and we will see you in about a week.
All right. Bye-bye.